every step I take forth, the past trials to follow, reminding me of what I have been. Mistakes and transgressions, those unlearned lessons of going through time and again. I know God can't recall what is cast in the sea. It's easy for Him and so hard for me. But there'll come a day when I see Him in glory, and I'll only recall Calvary's side of my story. When my sins were forgiven, my salvation was bought. Oh, what a moment when I can't remember everything He forgot.
I know He saved me, I know He forgave me, and the past is the past with Him. When guilt reminds me to look behind me, my regrets want me to spend time with them. But when I stand in His presence and He says, "Welcome home," every memory of failure and sin will be gone.
There'll come a day when I see Him in glory, and I'll only recall Calvary's side of my story. When my sins were forgiven, my salvation was bought. Oh, what a moment when I can't remember everything He forgot. Oh, there'll come a day when I see glory, and I'll only recall Calvary's side of my story. When my sins were forgiven, my salvation was bought. Oh, what a moment when I can't remember. Oh, what a moment when I can't remember everything He forgot.
Well, did you enjoy that tonight? Man, that was great. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, girls. That was really, really good. Well, there's so many people here tonight that we just love and appreciate. And hey, we're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. And I tell you what, while we're meeting together just for a little bit, why don't we go ahead and take our Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 6. And it is an honor for me to be back at the Faith Community Baptist Church. I love this place and just some special memories here. And I think, don't hold me to this, but I think the first time I ever preached at Faith Community, I preached a message on the rumble strips. Thank God for the rumble strips. How many were here for the rumble strips? Amen. I know Dylan was. Where's Dylan at? Yeah, right back there. And we had a little competition that day before I preached that message. And Dylan reminded me tonight, he won that competition that day. And we had a good time. I told him, I said, "Brothers, that was the first time I ever preached that message and the last time I ever preached that message. I never preached it again." And evidently somebody needed to be reminded of the rumble strips that day. But we had a great service. And I love you, Pastor. I tell you what, I love you, Pastor, and his family. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I love the Poindexters and just count them as just dear friends of ours. And then Brother Brandon and Miss Christy back there. And I was on Brother Brandon's ordination council and ordained him into the ministry. Now they're catching up with he and Miss Tammy. You know, they're getting older now, you know, catching up with us, right? Amen, brother. And And we love Brother Evan and Miss Savannah, and we're just so thankful for how the Lord is using them here. And how old are you, Brother Evan? 23. And which is such a blessing. You know, such a blessing that there are still some young people that have a heart for the things of God and still have a burden, you know, to do something for the Lord. I love that. You know, if we're not careful, sometimes people get us to thinking that all the young people, you know, are going the way of the world and doing what the devil would have them to do. And you know what? Nothing could be further from the truth. And we not only have some young people that are serving the Lord, but we have some young people that are on fire for God today. And that's an encouragement to me, and I thank the Lord for that. And anyway, we love the nuns, and it's just good to see all of you here tonight. Thank you for coming on a Friday night. You could be doing so many other things, and some of you have worked so hard this week, and you could be home resting tonight, and you've come here tonight, and I appreciate your faithfulness and your love for the Lord. And listen, I don't think we're going to be lengthy this evening. I know you're not concerned about that, but I don't think we're going to be long. And so we're going to have you out of here in just a little bit, and you'll be back home before you know it. But I want to try to be a help to you and a blessing. I called Brother Evan a few days ago, and I said, Brother, I said, I want to get your heart for this meeting, and I want to sort of know, you know, where God has you and the direction you're going for this meeting. And he took a little time and just, just really helped me and sort of opened my eyes as far as where his burden was. And it did help me. It really did help me. And so I want to try to see if I can go that direction tonight. So Genesis chapter 6 in your Bibles. And when you find your place, if you're able to stand, why don't we stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word. It's good to see my good friend, Brother Buddy, down here on the front. And I'm just glad. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad to see him everywhere I go. I mean, it. He's an encouragement, man. I know if I need a amen, he's going to give it. And that's a blessing. And then it's good to have some of our from Calvary, and I appreciate them being here. And so Genesis chapter number 6, and we're going to look at verse number 13, and we're going to sort of read some scripture. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to organize into a sort of a Bible study for a little while, and then you'll understand the direction that we're going tonight. And I hope that this will be a help and a blessing. And I love young people. I love young adults, and I want to try to be a blessing to all of the young adults here tonight. I want to be a blessing to everybody. But I want to especially try to focus in on the young adults tonight. And so Genesis chapter number 6, and look at verse number 13. And the Bible says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." And the Bible says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And you may be seated tonight. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us tonight. And listen, we're here. We might as well get something this evening. And so I want you to listen. You pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you right now. And we're going to trust the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we love you. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be back at Faith Community Baptist Church. God, we thank you for this church. And Lord, what it's doing and how you're using it. And Lord, to be a beacon in this community. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to do that. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might put a hedge of protection around this pastor, around his people, around his family. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to do a great and a mighty work here at this church. Father, thank you for letting us have church tonight. Lord, there's no better place to be. And so, Lord, we are here tonight. So, Lord, I pray that you give us a blessing. And Lord, I pray that we'll leave here. Lord, I pray we'll leave here being able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, I pray this. I pray that we'll leave here different than when we entered earlier tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to my heart. God, change my life. Change my heart tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll change the hearts and lives of those that are with us here this evening. Father, I pray most of all that Jesus will receive honor and praise and glory from all that's done. Brother Evans already said it tonight. It's so true. I pray that Jesus will be the focus. I pray he'll be the attention. God, I pray that everything will revolve around him. I pray he'll be the hub, not just a spoke in the wheel. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, that if there was one here this evening that has never been born again, God, I pray tonight will be the night that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so, Holy Spirit of God, hide us behind the cross now. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, use us to honor you and to be a blessing to your people. We love you, Lord. And we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake and all God's people said, amen. Well, what a great story. The story of Noah and the ark is. Most of you know it. You know it very well. You've probably read it many times. You've probably heard quite a bit of preaching from it and Sunday school lessons and all those kinds of things. And but the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 6 that God pronounces judgment upon the earth. And he tells Noah, I want you to build an ark. And all those that come into the ark are going to be spared. They're going to be saved. Our Bible tells us that the earth is going to be totally covered by water. And not only just covered by water, but the Bible says the waters would prevail until finally they would at least be 22 and a half feet over the tallest mountain range on the face of the earth. And all died. Every man, every woman, every creature died during the flood, all except Noah and his family. Now, I know that there are some you come in contact with at school and maybe at work, and they're sort of skeptical about some of these great, great Bible stories. And they would have you believe that, you know what, that there's no truth to that, that it's not true at all. I think about the young lady that was seated on a plane and she was flying somewhere. She got out her Bible. She was a godly young lady. She got out her Bible. She began to read, and there was a businessman that was sitting beside her, and he saw her get her Bible out. And after she had read for a little while, he just couldn't help it anymore. And he said to this young lady, he said, "Surely, young lady, surely you don't believe what that book has to say." She says, "Oh, yes, sir." She said, "I believe it from cover to cover, believe every page, believe every story." He said, "Oh, come on now, come on." He said, "Surely, surely you don't believe that story in there that talks about Jonah being swallowed by a whale." And she said, "Well, actually, sir," she said, "it was a great fish. The Bible says a great fish." He said, "Okay, all right." He said, "A great fish." He said, "You don't honestly believe that a man will swallow by a great fish and stay in that the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights and live to tell about it?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I do. I absolutely believe it." He said, "No, wait a minute now. Let me get this straight." He said, "You mean to tell me you believe that Jonah is going to be in heaven?" And she said, "Yes, sir, absolutely." She said, "I intend to meet him there." And that man got really smart. He said, "Well, Missy," he said, "what if he's not there in heaven?" And she said, "Well, I guess you'll have to greet him then." Now, Listen to me. Every story is true. And I'm telling you, Jonah and the whale is true. But I'll tell you something else. The story of Noah and the ark is likewise true. It's absolutely true. We may not understand everything about it. May not make sense to us. But I want to tell you what. We know the Word of God is true. And I want to tell you what. I want to tell you one of the greatest ways that we know that Noah and the ark is accurate. One of the greatest ways, because our Savior testified that it was true. We find that over in Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 36. And the Bible says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now I'm going to tell you something, church. If Jesus said it happened, it happened. You can go ahead and just mark it down. You can go ahead and just put that one in the books. You can go ahead and just take it to the bank. I'm telling you, if Jesus said it happened, it happened. And you may not understand everything about it. And there may be people on your job that condemn it and criticize it and tell you that it's not true. And there may be college professors that stand up before you in your college classroom and tell you that it's not true. But I'm just telling us tonight that if the Lord Jesus Christ said it happened, you can mark it down, it happened. And so we understand that Noah and his family were real. We understand that this family was real. We understand that Noah and his family were on that ark for a total of 378 days. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. This wasn't just an overnight field trip. They were on that ark for a long, long, long time. But I want to take just a moment tonight, if I could. And I want to give you several interesting things about the story of the ark and the ark in general here tonight. Some very specific details that our Bible tells us, and some very specific things that God said to Noah about the ark. And just very, very simple message tonight. Number one, I wrote this down. The ark was to be made of gopher wood. Now, look in your Bibles, if you will, and look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says here, and God is speaking to Noah and giving Noah specific details. And he says in verse number 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Gopher wood. Now, we also know something else. According to the book of Genesis, there were many trees in the world at that time. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he created creation, made creation, God created many different kinds of trees. And so I'm sure that there were oaks, and I'm sure there were pines, and I'm sure that there were poplars, and I'm sure that there were maples, and I'm sure there were all different kinds of trees. But God came to Noah and said, "Noah, I want you to make the ark out of gopher wood." Now, somebody says, "Pastor, why is that? And what is that?" I'll be honest with you. We're really not exactly sure what gopher wood was. Some believe that it was probably cedar. Others believe that it was probably made out of cypress. And it would, of course, endure the water very good, extremely, extremely durable. We're not exactly sure what gopher wood was, but we do know this. We know that the ark was made of gopher wood. There's something else. We see the ark was to be made with certain dimensions. Look, if you will, at Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 15. "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it up. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. At the breadth of it, 50 cubits, and the height of it, 30 cubits. So, interesting, the Bible gives us some very certain dimensions. Listen to this. Maybe this will just be interesting to you. A cubit was about 18 inches long. Really, if you were to take your pointing finger and point it out from the end of your pointer finger to the edge of your elbow, there's about a cubit. That would be about 18 inches. And so that would make the ark about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. It was a gigantic box of sorts, and it would be very, very stable in the water. Now, listen to this. I thought this was pretty interesting. The volume space in the ark was 1.4 million cubic feet. It was equal to the capacity of 522 standard railroad boxcars, which if we did this, they could carry 125,000 sheep loaded into those boxcars. It had three stories, and each of those stories was 15 feet high. It was covered in something called pitch. And that pitch, of course, was a resin substance that sealed the cracks and sealed the seams in the wood. It was rectangular. In fact, some scholars say that the ark was almost more like a barge, if you will, barge-like. It was six times longer than it was wide and ten times longer than it was high. Now, again, you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? It really has to do a lot with something. So just hang in there with me and learn a little bit tonight. And I hope when we get toward the end that this will make great, great sense. But we notice here that the ark was made from certain dimensions. Look at this. We also see here the ark was made to be with rooms. With rooms. Look at Genesis chapter 6 verse 14. He says to Noah here, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And then he says, rooms shalt thou make in the ark. So this was not just a boat or a ship that was just wide open. But our Bible says very specifically there were rooms in the ark. Now you say, preacher, rooms. I mean, what were the rooms for? Well, think about it. Those rooms were for people. Those rooms were for Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. They were for animals. Those rooms were for food. Those rooms were for working. Those rooms were places where they would store supplies. But the ark was made with rooms in it. Tell you something else. The ark was made with a window. Did y'all see that? Look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 16. The Bible says, and here again, God is giving Noah certain specific things to do. Verse 16, he says to Noah, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. That's interesting. Our Bible tells us that there was one window in the ark, and that one window was directly above. Now, I know you see these little pictures, you know, in these little, children's books and things like that. There's a cute little giraffe sticking out of this window, and there's a big elephant. It's got his trunk stuck out of another window, and that looks really cute, but that's not biblical. The Bible says the ark had one window, and that window was directly above. Now, that tells us something, that there was one direction for Noah and his family to look. If they were going to see the light of day, there was one direction that they were to look. They were not to look down. They were not to look around. They were not to look side to side. If they wanted to see the light, if they wanted to see daylight, hey, they only had to look up. And I want to tell us today, oh, child of God, whatever you do, don't get your eyes down and don't get your eyes side to side. Don't get your eyes on the world. Don't get your eyes on Fox News and CNN and Ukraine and Russia and America. I'm telling you what you need to do today is put your eyes toward the sky and look to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, things are so dark, things are so bleak, but I'm telling you, I'm glad I can come here tonight and remind you that thank God we are on the winning side. And so, hey, Faith Community Baptist Church, just keep looking up. Keep looking up. Luke chapter 21 verse 28, the Bible says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 5 verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. We'll look up. Hey, look up, friend. Look up. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the burdens you're facing right now. You might be here tonight and you say, Pastor, they just diagnosed me with cancer. Preacher, we've got some issues going on at the house. Preacher, we've got some family problems, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, friend, I just want to encourage you. Look up, man. Just look up, look up. Oh, listen, don't get your eyes on the problem. Keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace. Amen. Oh, yes, good neighbor. I'm not preaching on that tonight. That's a good little place to take a time out. Hey, don't get your eyes on people. Keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace. Amen. We notice here that the ark was made with a window. But look at this. The ark was made with a door. Y'all see that? Look, if you will, at Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 16. The Bible says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and the door, look at that, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. That's interesting. The Bible says the door. The door. Only one. There's only one. You know what? There was only one way that led to safety. There wasn't many ways to come in. There was only one way to come in. And I'm going to tell you, church, this is the truth. Again, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but let's just hang in here just for a second. And there is one word that just upsets this world like crazy, and it's the word thee. It's called a definite article, a definite article. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In John chapter number 10, Jesus said, I am the door. You know what that means, young people? There's not a lot of ways to get there. There's not a multiplicity of ways to get there. Brother, no, sir. Listen, you don't get there by the catechisms. You don't get there by praying the rosary. You don't get there because a priest blesses you. You don't get there because you know a preacher. You don't get there because you're a Pentecostal or the best Catholic's ever been. You don't get there because you're a Baptist. I'm telling you what, the only way that you're ever going to make it to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's only one way. There's only one door. And that door is Jesus Christ. But look at this. Not only was the ark made with rooms, and the ark was made with a window, and the ark was made with a door, and the ark was made with very specific dimensions, but we notice the ark was made to be filled with animals. Look at your Bible at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 19. The Bible says, and of every living thing of all flesh, notice the next word, two of every sort shalt thou bring them into the ark to keep them alive with thee. And this next line is also interesting. The Bible says, they shall be male and female.
Amen.
Well, that's worth preaching on right there, isn't it? Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And so the animals were to come into the ark, and they were to come by twos. But this is also somewhat interesting. We notice that some of the animals were gathered by sevens. Not all the animals came in by twos. Some came in by sevens for the purpose of sacrifice and the purpose for food. Look, if you will, at Genesis chapter 7 and look at verse number 2. Of every clean beast, thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. I promise you, I'm going somewhere with this. And so not only was the ark created with very specific dimensions, and the ark was made with rooms, and the ark was made with a window, and the ark was made with a door, and we noticed the ark was made to be filled with animals, but we noticed that the ark was to be furnished with food. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 6, verse 21. And God says to Noah, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Oh man, can you imagine how much food it took?
Amen.
To feed all this host of animals and eight people for 378 days? Brother, that's a lot of food. And so no wonder they had to make rooms. No wonder they had to have a place to store all the food. But the ark was created in such a way that food was to be brought into it. And I'll show you one other thing here. The ark was made to accommodate Noah's family. Genesis 7, verse number 7. And Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now again, I'm going somewhere. The ark here, the Bible's very clear. This is not a mistake. The Bible's very clear to point some things out. That the ark was created with certain dimensions. The ark was created to be made with rooms. The ark was to be made with a window. The ark was to be made with a door. The ark was to be filled with animals. The ark was to be furnished with food. The ark was to accommodate Noah's family. And so again, I am trying to be just a little repetitive because I want this to resonate in your mind tonight. And so God was very, very, very specific concerning what He wanted for the ark. But I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of vessels that are made with specific materials. And there's a lot of vessels that are made by certain dimensions. Most are. I'm going to be honest with you. If you were to go down to the coast tonight and look at some of the ships down there in the port, you would notice that a lot of those ships are made with rooms, and they're made with doors, and they have windows, and a lot of those ships carry freight and passengers. And so you say, oh, all right, Brother Pope, okay. Big deal. Yeah, pretty big. We see that God was very specific concerning how the ark was to be made. But we also notice in this same lesson here that there was one thing that was missing. Yes, well, they had rooms, they did. Walls, they did. They had pitch, you know, to cover the cracks and the seams, they did. Well, you say, Pastor Ed, animals, that's right. Some two, some seven. They had people, you got it. They had rooms, they did. They had, all these kind of things, but there was one thing. There was one majorly important thing that was missing from the ark. Well, you say, Pastor, what was it? And here's the answer to that. The ark was missing a helm. The ark was missing a helm. Listen to James chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth this vessel that Noah and his family are on, was built with no possible way to control it. Man, I came across that one day and I thought, whoa, wow. Man, I never seen that. I never noticed that. I saw the rooms, I saw the pitch, I saw, man, all the different things, the food, the people, the animals, all those things. And I thought, wait, whoa, 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 time out, hang on just a minute. There's one thing missing. There's not a helm on this boat. There is no way. Listen, did you know that Noah did not have any possible way of steering this boat? It did not have a sail. It did not have a steering mechanism. It did not have any kind of navigational controls. Somebody says, wow, Pastor, was this an uh-oh moment with God? Uh-oh. I told Noah to do this and this and this and this and this and this. Uh-oh. Man, I completely forgot. Oh my soul. Now people do forget things. You know, every once in a while you'll pull into a gas station and you'll see somebody that forgets to close their gas lid, or somebody forgets to put their gas cap back on. Sometimes you'll see somebody and they're in a little bit of a rush to go to work, and they pour their cup of coffee and they go out and get the car and they set their cup of coffee up on top of the car and then they jump in the car and they don't think about it and they leave their cup of coffee on the top of the car. That's an uh-oh moment, you know, when you see coffee pouring out or you see your mug hit the road. That's an uh-oh moment. Hey, young people, listen to me here tonight. This is not an uh-oh moment with God.
Amen.
This is absolutely on purpose. This did not happen accidentally. God did not forget to do it. There is a reason. God did not tell Noah to put a helm on this great boat. You know what it was? Because God was to be its helm. God was to be the steering wheel. God was to be the navigational control. Listen, God was to be the sail. I'm telling you, church, God didn't want Noah guiding this thing. God didn't want Noah steering this thing. God said, hey, Noah, you just do what I tell you to do, and I'll promise you I'll guide this ship where it is supposed to go, and I'll take it where it's supposed to end up. Man, oh man. Hey, did you know this? Did you know that God, hey, young people, did you know God will give you what you need to furnish your ark?
Yes, sir.
He will. Hey, listen to some verses here. How about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17? Listen to this. The Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Did you know God will give you what you need to get your ark furnished? He will. How about 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5? The Bible says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Listen, God will give you what you need to furnish your ark, but this is what I'm preaching tonight. At the end of the day, when it all comes down to it, listen, God doesn't want you to be the helm. God doesn't want you to be the sail. God doesn't want you to be the navigational control of your life. There is a God in heaven who wants to steer you, who wants to guide you, who wants to lead you, who wants to make sure that He takes you where you need to go.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh man. Listen to me. You know why we're in so much trouble today in this world? Come on now. You know why we're in so much trouble in 2023? Because there's a lot of people who said, Lord, I'm going to steer my own life. You know what? We got people growing up our churches right now. Amen. I mean, this is the truth. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Young people come in. There's nothing wrong with a career. There's nothing wrong with a career necessarily. But we got people growing up in our churches that are more concerned with a career and more concerned with the almighty dollar and more concerned about having a house in the country club and more concerned about driving a Cadillac Escalade. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Nothing wrong with driving a Cadillac. Nothing wrong with living in the country club. There's nothing wrong with you being a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with you being a doctor. There's nothing wrong with you having a career. There's nothing wrong with that except one thing. If you're the one that's guiding your ark, you've got a major problem. Listen, God doesn't want you to be the helm. God wants you to let Him lead the way and take you where He wants you to go. And so, hey, listen, if God wants you to be a doctor, praise God. But you better let Him steer. If God wants you to be an attorney, that's fine. But you better let Him lead. You say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I really think God wants me to be a preacher, but I want to be an attorney. Now you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
You see, God didn't make you with a helm. God wants you to let Him lead. God wants you, amen, this is simple preaching tonight. God wants you to just to submit and yield yourselves to the will of God, and you let God show you what He wants you to do. You know, years ago, my wife and I, we had went on a cruise, and we went to the Eastern Caribbean. And now my wife, sitting right there, this little redhead down there, she is a lot more of a daredevil than I am. And she'll do all, you know, bungee jump and all that, you know, and not me, brother. She'll jump out of an airplane, you know, with a parachute, and I'm thinking, why would anybody jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Amen? And but anyway, we're on this cruise, and we're going to the Eastern Caribbean. And really didn't even realize it. But that night we were sailing through, some of you have heard of the Devil's Triangle. And that night we were sailing through the Devil's Triangle, and a storm came. And we were in that storm. We'd been on several cruises, but nothing like this. And man, I'm telling you, the wind got to blowing, and the storm, that storm started bearing down. there in the Devil's Triangle, and that cruise ship was getting tossed around. And you say, preacher, how bad was it? Listen, it was this bad where you couldn't even stay still in the bed. I mean, it was rolling you out of the bed and just, you know, you couldn't sleep. And I mean, my wife and I, we were high up, you know, on that cruise ship, but it was crashing through the waves, and those waves were crashing up, you know, even where we were. And you say, what were you doing? I was praying, brother. That's what I was doing. I'm not making that up either, by the way. I was praying, oh God, please bring us through this. And the Lord, please just speak the word, peace, be still. Amen. Now wait a minute. Now it's rough. I'm telling you, it was terribly rough. I'd like to tell you that I had the peace of God in my heart that night. But I was sort of full of anxiety. And finally, we were able to go back to sleep. Well, that next morning we woke up and we were pulling into St. Thomas, you know, the Virgin Islands. And I remember, man, we got out of bed just having come through that terrible, terrible storm, and now the sun was up. And I remember us going out on the balcony there, and we were just pulling in. We had never been there, and we were just pulling in. I'm telling you, man, it was just like absolutely just gorgeous. I mean, just beautiful. I can't even really explain to you just how pretty it was. Now, wait a minute now. You understand what would have happened if during that storm, and man, those waves were hitting the side of that ship, and that ship was tossing, forward and backward, what would have happened if I would have went up to the bridge of that ship and banged on the door and said, hey, let me in. And they let me in on the bridge. They would have never done that. But if they'd let me in on the bridge, and I said to that captain, hey, you've drove this thing enough. It's time for me to do the driving. And I start trying to drive that ship through that storm. You say, Brother Steve, that wouldn't be good. You got that right. You know what? It'd be disastrous. Oh, yes, it'd be disastrous. You know why? Because at least that captain knew how to hit those waves just right. He knew exactly what direction to go. He knew how to fend off the wind. He knew exactly what to do. Oh, listen to me. Did you know one of the worst things you'll ever do is steer your life and decide what you're going to do and the direction you're going to go? Oh, listen. This is all I'm preaching tonight. Did you know if this on this Friday night, if we had a young man or a young lady here in just a moment that would come to this altar and just say, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to yield my life to you. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm just going to yield my life to you, and whatever you want me to do and wherever you want me to go, and God, I'm willing to do it, and I want you to know I'm yielded. Listen, brother, did you know that this would be a successful meeting if that happened tonight?
Yes, sir. Amen. It's good,
brother. There was no helm. God wanted to steer. God wanted to steer. You know, in my younger days, I'm going to be honest, I'm a little ashamed to tell you, but in my younger days, I was trying to steer my life. I remember, and evidently, maybe even mom and dad saw that I was getting a little off track. And so in the eighth grade, my wife pretty much grew up in a Christian school. But in the eighth grade, my mom and dad sent me to Christian school. And I remember at the time, there at Southview Christian School, I remember a fellow by the name of Joe Hamilton. Joe Hamilton was my Bible teacher at Southview Christian School. He was also the pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Union Grove. And Brother Hamilton was a former drill instructor, Marine, Vietnam veteran. He was very straight-laced and pretty much put up with no nonsense and that kind of thing. But I remember one day being down in the copy room, and we were making some copies, and I was helping Brother Hamilton. And Brother Hamilton, in that drill instructor brogue, said to me, Mr. Pope, what are you planning on doing with your life? Man, I didn't even miss a beat. I said, oh, Mr. Hamilton, I'm going in medical. I'm going into the medical field. Never even, as far as I know, didn't even give it a thought. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. And Mr. Hamilton said this. He said, well, you never know. God might call you to be a preacher. said, a preacher, man, I don't know about that. I can't even give a public, a verbal book report. God called me to be a preacher. Hey, listen, church, I did not know this, but I'm thankful that I let God have the helm. I let God begin to lead me. And little did I know that Brother Hamilton was prophesying. And just 11 years later, when Joe Hamilton would leave the Calvary Baptist Church of Union Grove, guess who became the next pastor there? You looking at him. Oh, hey, young people, that's all I'm saying. God has big plans for you. God has big plans for you. But you got to let him lead. You got to let him take the wheel. Man, you got to let him. You got to make sure that God is the helm. You got to make sure that you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. I was thinking about this. My little redhead sitting down here on this second row. We've been married over 37 years. 37 years. You say, how is it, preacher? Man, it gets better every day. I'm not making that up. It gets better every day. 37 years. But earlier in my life, I was trying to steer my vessel. And I was looking for young ladies to date, and some of them were probably not the best choice. And my mom's one of the godliest ladies I know. She's 80 years old now. And we had just had a new family that started visiting our church, the Eufaula Baptist Church. And I remember my mom was talking to me one day, and she said, if you want my advice, she said, what you ought to do is you ought to date that little Ayers girl that just started coming to our church, who wears her skirts and carries her red Scofield Bible. That's who you ought to date. Boy, I'm so glad that I let God take the helm. Amen. I'm so glad that, you know what, I just, I took that advice from my godly mother, and Miss Tammy down here became my girlfriend, and then we courted, and then we're engaged, and eventually married. And oh, listen, I wish I could tell you how good life, oh yes, I wish I could just take a little while and just testify and tell you how good God is and how good life is. And I'm telling you what, it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And you say, well, Brother Pope, what's your secret? That's what I'm telling you. It's not a secret. You got to let him take the helm. That's what I'm saying tonight. Man, let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let him steer. You say, but preacher, this has always been my goal in life. I'm not saying you have to burn all your bridges and crash all your dreams, but I am saying this, you need to check with God first. Yes, sir. And say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this the girl
That's good preaching.
You want me to date? Is this the young man you want me to marry? Amen. Is this the direction you want me to go with my life? Is this it? Is this what you want? By the way, I promise you this, there'll be plenty of people who come and try to get you to go a certain direction. I can tell you right now, you're going to have friends that are going to come and they're going to try to pull you this way and that way. And you're even going to have some well-meaning adults that are going to try to pull you in the wrong direction. Oh, listen, this is all I'm saying. Just yield your life to God and say, God, from now on, from this night forward, what you want, that's what I want. Amen. God, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my life? God, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to talk? Lord, are these the words you want me to use? Oh, that's okay. All right, I'll change them then. Lord, is this the crowd you want me to hang around? Oh, okay, no. All right, I'll change my crowd. Lord, you want me to be at Sunday school? I'll be at Sunday school. Lord, you want me to show up for Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and youth group and revival and conferences and work days and yeah, Lord, that's fine. I'm going to do all that. You know why? Because God, you've got the helm. You've got the helm. I want you to guide me. I want you to show me what you want me to do. Oh, listen, kids. I've got younger men now at Calvary that are helping us in the ministry. And I know that more and more our kids are looking at me like, man, I'm the T-Rex now. I get it. I know. Been at Calvary Baptist Church for over 31 years. That don't even make any sense. How can we be there for over 31 years? And I know kids look at me sometimes and they're like, preacher, yeah, but you're old. Preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand the times. You don't understand the trends. You don't understand. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. I don't understand everything, but there are some things I do understand. I read the story about a young man who was a scuba diver. And he was going to do his first scuba diving excursion at night. And he was sort of excited about it until he got his gear on and they fell over the side of that boat and they got down into that water. And he thought that you'd be able to see. And he ended up, when he got down there in that water, you couldn't hardly see your hand in front of your face. It was dark, 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 dark. And then he got to thinking, man, I hope I stay with my team, you know. And one of the swimmers ahead of him got a little ahead of him, and he could barely see. And then he started getting disoriented. And he couldn't tell, you know, he couldn't see the surface, he couldn't see the bottom, and he couldn't tell whether he was upside down or right side up. He couldn't tell, and he started almost having an anxiety, a panic attack. And he thought, man, I don't know. I don't know where I am. Don't know what I'm doing. What if I get separated? And then he remembered. He remembered one of the lessons they had taught him when he first started scuba diving. And this is what they said. If you ever become disoriented, follow the bubbles. If you ever become disoriented, follow the bubbles. What do you mean, preacher? When you're scuba diving and you're breathing, bubbles come out, and those bubbles always rise to the surface. And he said, you know what I did? He said, I followed the bubbles. Hey, young people, can I give you some great advice tonight? Just follow God. Yeah. Follow God.
You're right.
And if you'll follow the Lord, you'll always, always be headed in the right direction. I wasn't sure when to tell this little story. And I do tell a lot of stories. I think sometimes maybe preachers think that's a negative. I don't know. But Jesus told a lot of stories, and so I like to tell a lot of stories. My wife and I have 3 kids and 1 in heaven. All of our kids are grown now. We have 7 grandbabies and 1 on the way. And years ago, though, when our kids were small, and the seatbelt thing wasn't as big of an issue back in that day and time, we would be on our way to the church going down Indian Hill Road. And I would say to our daughter, Hannah, she was just a little tyke at the time, and I would say, honey, you want to help Daddy drive? She would say, yes, yes. Man, she'd jump across the seat. She'd plop down in my lap. She'd put her little tiny hands on that steering wheel. I'd take my big old hands and I'd put my big hand over her hands, and we'd go down Indian Hill Road driving, and she would always look over at her mom, not watching the road. She'd look over at her mom and she'd say, Mommy, look at me, I'm helping Daddy drive. Well, that happened numerous times. We're coming down Indian Hill Road and I'd say, hey, honey. And she knew. Hey, honey, you want to help Daddy drive? Yeah. She'd jump across the seat, plop down in my lap. Put a hand here, and I put my big hands over here. She'd look over to Mom. Mommy, look at me. I'm helping Daddy drive. And we did that all the time. And then one day, we were coming down Indian Hill Road, and I said, hey, honey, you want to help Daddy drive? She bounded across that seat, plopped down in my lap. She put those little hands on the steering wheel, and about the time I was going to come up with my big, giant hands over her, she looked back at me, and she said, Daddy, I want to do it by myself.
Come on, brother.
So you know what I did? I let her.
Yeah.
We're going down Indian Hill Road, and all of a sudden the van runs off the road, and rocks and gravel and dust begin to fly up, and the van begins to strike. She says, Daddy, help me. And I would put my big giant hands over hers and I'd pull us back onto the road. Oh, yes. You know what's going on in America today? America has said to God, God, we want to do it by ourselves. We want to do it by ourselves. You know what's going on with so many young people that you know? Young adults, young people that you know? You know why some young adults that you know, their marriages have already failed? You know why their life is so complicated? Why they're struggling? Why their families are just all up in odds and all in pieces? You know what's going on? We have told God, God, I want to do it by myself. Boy, thank God for the day when I said, Lord, I don't want the steering wheel. I don't want the helm. I don't want to control the sail. Lord, I'm just going to put myself in your hands. And you just guide the ship. And you show me what you want me to do. And I wish I could tell you how good God has been. Would you bow your heads with me all over the house tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to turn this over to Brother Evan here in just a moment. But just so I know how to pray tonight. And Miss Savannah, you go ahead and start playing anytime you want. I wonder how many, first of all, how many are here tonight who would say, Brother Pope, I'm going to be honest. If I died tonight, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. And preacher, I want you to pray for me. I care enough to slip up my hand and let you pray for me tonight. Is there one tonight and you would say, Brother Pope, if I died, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. I want you to pray for me right now. Come on, right now, without a moment's hesitation, you'd slip your hand up and let me pray for you. Is there one anywhere tonight that I could pray for? Preacher, if I died, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Can I pray for you? All right, let me ask you this. I wonder how many young people are here tonight who in just a moment need to make their way down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I want you to take the wheel. Lord, I want you to be the helm. I want you to be the sail in my life. God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it tonight. Lord, if you want me to burn my bridges, if you want me to say no to my dreams, Lord, I'm willing tonight. God, I'm willing to yield myself to the Holy Spirit and do the will of God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's do this. Let's all stand. Folks are already coming to the altars. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10, 9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10, 13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8, 1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.